Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 7, the first two stanzas. On the good and faithful, God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings from above. And what follows in stanzas 1 and 2 of Psalter number 7.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the Gospel according to John, there of the 8th chapter, John chapter 8, the first 20 verses. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Had no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who hast come upon this earth, as we have heard it in these moments, and hast given testimony concerning thyself. And thy Father has borne witness with thee who that thou art, when it may have been seen in those days all that thou hast done with the help of thy Father to cure the sick, to heal the lepers, to make the lame to walk, and to speak that way of salvation to poor souls, when the poor may have the gospel preached unto them, a testimony. For no man spake like this man, the people did say. O Lord, that we also may receive such a testimony in our own hearts, when we come into thy house of prayer, for so many times we have come together, and so many times have we come and gone from thy house of prayer, and it cannot remain with us as we have been born. But we can read in thy holy word that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. A foolishness unto us, O Lord, by nature, that we cast it all away. We have a form, a custom, a religion, but in our hearts we despise thee, we despise thy word, and we cast it from us as foolishness. Oh, that thou may grant us that blessed teaching of thy Holy Spirit, that we may be instructed in the things that are most necessary to know, because we are living, each one of us, on the edge of the grave. We know not what a day may bring forth, and we hang by nature By a silver cord that is over the pit of hell. Oh, any moment it can be cut off, and we do fall away into that place that we have chosen apart from thee in our father Adam. Oh, thou hast sent thine only begotten Son into this world, and thou hast said, in him I am well pleased. But there is no form, there is no comeliness in him, in our eyes by nature. He must be made lovely unto us, as thy servant did say, that he is altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. That thou may show to us our great need of him, that he may become precious in our sight, that we may see that he is everything, that in him is that salvation, that we cannot miss as we travel to meet thee. O Lord, that thou may look upon each and every one, for there are also those hearts that have been touched by thee, and thou knowest where that they are. It is but a little remnant in this world, as we can read in thy holy word. But we may read of him who had no man to put him down into the pool. But while he was coming, another stepped down before him. No man, Lord, and no help from man, no strength in man, no wisdom in man, no righteousness in man. Oh, that thou may give us to come to such a place, and thou knowest where that they are. And we may read that thou didst know, and that he had been a long time in that case. And thou knowest where that they are also in our midst. Whether there are those that have been a long time in that case. And thou didst but speak unto him, and thou art the same yesterday, today and forever. Could it please thee also to speak unto those that need thee, unto those that have nothing anymore, who have lost all their hope and all their expectation from the side of man. Oh, that thou may give such dealings in the midst of us, that thy salvation may be known by the revelation of thyself unto wretched and poor sinners. Wilt thou look upon us if we do deceive ourselves as we go over this world for that never-ending eternity? O Lord, remember us then, for we are in and of ourselves nothing but a Pharisee. Or we have our religion. It does comfort our hearts, and so we can live on in this world, but so we cannot die. Open thou our eyes. Open now our ears. Open now our understandings. Open thou our hearts, that we may attend to the things that thou dost speak in thy holy word. Go thou before young and old, for the journey to eternity is short, though we are old or though we are young. We do not see it from our sight. Always there shall be another day, but that shall soon cease. And what a surprise that it shall be. O Lord, that thou may cause us to be concerned for the need of our soul, and that we would not be able to continue in that same state and condition as we have been born in our father Adam. Look thou upon us, do be with the children, and wilt thou give them ears to hear, give them hearts to understand, give them the tender fear of thy holy name in the days of their youth, that they may fear to walk in the ways of sin. Cause our parents to lead our children by the hand, not in the ways of vanity and seeking after all that cannot profit, but wilt thou grant new hearts. Grant thou thy Spirit's work to young and old together, and wilt thou strengthen all those that are weak, those that are sick, those that have cares and that have needs known unto thee. Lord, wilt thou give a place by thee, that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place. We lay before thee once again her that lays in the hospital, for thou knowest her bodily needs, but thou knowest also her soul's need. O Lord, that thou may visit her this day, and when she cannot be among us, and could it please thee to open her heart for thee and for thy holy word, and wilt thou give her a blessing out of thy heavenly store. Be with all the needy. Look upon those that come no more up to thy house. They have turned away, but Lord, thou art able to bring them back. For thou art he that is going after the lost sheep, that thou may remember and that thou may give to mourning parents a hope and expectation, and that alone can be found in thee. Wilt thou look upon us in this hour? Lord, strengthen thou us, that we may do this work that we may bring a little portion of thy word this day, that we may receive the strength for our body, and the clarity in our mind, and the unction of thy Holy Spirit in our soul, that we may be led by thee, and that thy word may go forth with the power of thy Holy Spirit, that those who are hungry may eat and be satisfied, that those that are thirsty may drink of the fountain of living waters, and that thou wouldst glorify thy great and thy glorious name in the hearts of wretched and miserable sinners. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 362, all the stanzas. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. All the stanzas of Psalter 362, and the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion which was read to you, John 8, and thereof the 12th verse. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So far the words of our text, which speak of the light of the world. And we would like to consider that in two thoughts. First, the need for this light. And second, the shining of this light. The light of the world. First, the need for this light. And second, the shining of this light. What is it, congregation, that we prefer? Light or darkness? What do you prefer, children? Light or darkness? Maybe you say, well, in the night, then we prefer it to be dark. And in the morning, in the day, then we prefer it to be light. And so naturally it will be. But darkness, that is actually a very frightening thing. There is only one reason that we are not frightened when it becomes dark in the night. And that is because we have an expectation. We have a hope that it is again going to become light in the morning. What if it would not become light again in the morning? There are degrees of darkness. There is a shadow, and a shadow that is just a little bit of darkness. We are not afraid of this. Then there is dusk, but then there is also midnight. And sometimes, children, you may be afraid if it is very, very dark at midnight when you wake up in the middle of the night. In Egypt, we read of a darkness that could be felt, that was so dark, we read that they could not see one another, and also that no one did move out of his place for 3 days. We read of Abraham that in horror of great darkness fell upon him. An horrible darkness, a terrible darkness. But we read that in that darkness, God himself appeared unto Abram. We read in the beginning of the time, in the beginning of the world, and that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Who can fathom what that was? Before light was actually ever even created, no man, no life can exist in such a place where there is no light. And therefore God did say, let there be light. And there was light. What a great difference between the darkness and the light. And we read that God divided the light from the darkness. Indeed, what greater difference can there be than the difference between darkness and light? In hell, there is no light. we read that the wicked, they are reserved. Reserved unto the blackness of darkness forever. Hell that is called an outer darkness, that is said to be chains of darkness. That means that a man will not be able to deliver himself from that darkness, though he would desire so to escape it. Are they not frightening thoughts? An eternal and everlasting darkness. And yet, how is it? How is it that we can, knowing these things, reading these things in the Word of God, that we can be so careless about this eternal darkness? That is because of another darkness. That is because of a darkness that lives within us. That is because of the darkness of ignorance. It is a spiritual darkness. It is the darkness in our soul. Our text that speaks about the light of life. But shall have, we read, the light of life. Those two things go together. Light and life. We cannot have life without light. And therefore, also the other two things go together. They are darkness and death. There is an eternal darkness that we have spoken a few words about. That is an eternal death and a darkness that accompanies it. But we read in God's Word also of a temporal death. And that there is a darkness that attends the temporal death. Do you ever go to the graveyard? And then to consider what that is for man to die. Because Solomon says that though a man live many years, let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. What are those days of darkness? They are the days between death and the resurrection. They are the days wherein a man is temporally dead and that he is lying in that dark grave. Thus, there is an eternal death and darkness. There is a temporal death and darkness. But the Word of God that is speaking also about a spiritual death and the darkness that does accompany that spiritual death. What do we read? Paul, he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Thus, alienated from life. Alienated from the life of God. That is through what? That is through the blindness of the heart. When they cannot see, it is a darkness. It is because of ignorance. Thus, it is a darkness of ignorance. Spiritual darkness. Ignorance, what is that? That is to miss knowledge. We miss what knowledge? We miss the knowledge of God. That is a knowledge in which we were created. knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And now ignorance, spiritual ignorance, death, spiritual death, that is because we have lost this knowledge. And because we have lost that knowledge, and we are ignorant of God, then Paul says to the Corinthians that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. He says they are foolishness unto him. Foolishness. The things of God. Foolishness, why? Because we are so wise? No, they are foolishness. Because Paul says we are so ignorant. They are foolishness. Because we have lost the knowledge of God. Our first thought, that is the need for light. Do you ever feel that? The need for light. Not the need for natural light. But do you ever feel in your soul the need for spiritual light? Do you ever feel the darkness of your ignorance? The ignorance of God? That you do not know God anymore? John, he says, in him was life. And that life that was the light of men. And he says, that light that shineth in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. What does that mean, to comprehend it not? That is not that they didn't understand it, but it was that they, that is the meaning of the word in the original language, not to comprehend it means that they despised it. They did not come to the light. They were not desirous of that knowledge. That is something, isn't it, young people? That man is not desirous of knowledge. That is not according to our creation, is it? We go to school, children. And when you go to school, then you desire knowledge, I think. It is hard sometimes, probably, for some of you in school. Learning that is not always easy. Maybe you say you do not like it, but I hope you do your best. But even if you say you do not like it, still, when you learn something, are you not glad? Are you not glad to know it? Is that not something that the Lord has created us with? That we do desire knowledge and that we seek after knowledge? How is it then that man, he is, as we can read, pushing away this knowledge? Well, the Lord Jesus, he says, that this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that men loved darkness rather than light. To love the darkness rather than light. You say, how can that be? Well, he says how it can be. What is the reason that they love that darkness? That was because, he says, their deeds were evil. If our deeds are evil, then we love the darkness. Why? Because darkness, that is a cover for our evil deeds, isn't it? That is why evil is done in the night. Where are you, young people, in the night? Are you out in the world in the night? That is where the evil is taking place, under the cover of darkness. Satan, he is largely a nocturnal creature. His, we read in God's word, is the kingdom of darkness. And his, they are the works of darkness. But what does Christ say? He says, I am the light. I am the light, he says, of the world. How is it that this light of the world is exposing all of the evil deeds of mankind? Well, that is because of the very necessity of his coming itself. Why did he come into this world? That was to fulfill the law. For whom? For a people who could not fulfill it. For a people who did not fulfill it, who had no desire to fulfill it. And though, therefore, the very purpose of his coming, that is exposing the evil deeds of mankind, his coming, that is shedding for us a very great light. It is a light upon the fallen creatures of God. A light which is a testimony from heaven. Wherein the Lord says, this people, they are full of evil deeds. They are full of nothing but evil deeds. So that it is necessary for me to send my only begotten Son, that there might be a fulfillment of the law. His coming that has shed a great light on the guilt of his church, the greatness of that guilt, the wrath of God upon that guilt. I am the light of the world. How can men in this world, how can they love Christ? How is that possible? When as the light of the world, he is doing nothing but shining light upon the evil deeds of mankind. How can they love such a man? Did the Pharisees love him? The brethren of Joseph hated him. Why did they hate him? Well, because he exposed their evil deeds. Because his life, that was a testimony against their life. Did they always hate him? Say they did not always hate him. Came a time that it became different in their life. Came a time that they loved him. There came a time that they needed him. When was that time? That was when they acknowledged their evil deeds. It took years. Many years. Before they acknowledged their evil deeds. How long does it take us before we acknowledge our evil deeds? Who did that? Joseph. He brought them to the light. He shined upon, in the first place, their evil deeds. There is no other way. Those evil deeds, they had to be exposed. Why? Because unrepentant is unforgiven. Thus the light that Joseph shone, we read of John the Baptist, that he came to bear witness of the light. He was not that light, but he came to bear witness of that light. The forerunner, and what was his message? Repent. Thus he shone light upon the evil deeds. I am the light of the world. That first light that a man needs is what kind of light? That is light that into our need for him. Did you ever have light into your need for him? Into your wretched, into your miserable condition that began already in the Old Testament. When the Lord, when he appeared after the fall, and when the Lord said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And then our parents, they may know. They may know what? So deep was that fall that without the Lord sending a Savior, a Mediator, they could never deliver themselves out of that pit in which they had fallen. Thus that first promise, the first promise of the Lord that is exposing the depth of the fall. So our fathers say it. What are those things that are necessary to know in the first place? How great, not just what my sins and miseries are, but how great my sins and miseries are. That is a hard lesson. That is a lesson that a man does not learn in just one day. Peter thought, everyone offends against Christ. I would never do it. What did he need to learn? He needed to learn that he would do it too. Thus the church with Paul, they need to learn not only that they have sinned, but they need to learn that they are sin. They need to learn, we say sometimes, their sinful existence, what they are, that is from the crown of the head unto the sole of the foot. What does Christ say? He says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Lost. That is now the light. The light, the first light, that the light of the world needs to shine into our heart. By nature, we do not have this light. Lost? Are you lost? Lost? We do not feel lost. We do not feel we have not even a desire after the Lord. We can leave him in heaven as long as we are healthy, as long as we are well. No, then we are not lost. If we're a little religious, then we say to the Lord, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. But the Lord knows we will not. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man he had not where to lay his head. And if the Lord gives us a new heart, if the Lord gives us by His Spirit true regeneration, what then? Oh, then we say, oh Lord, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. Do we mean it? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we mean it. We do that with all our might. We do that with all our strength that is given by the Spirit of the Lord. But do you know what a man is not yet? Lost. Lost. Because what happens when a man is lost? What happens when you are lost, children? When you are lost, you can say, I will try to find my way. But if you're lost, you cannot find your way. What does a lost man do? What does a lost man ask for? What does a lost man cry for? He says, Lord, wilt thou find me? I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Lord, seek thy servant. That is light. That is light. That is light that is given to a man by this light of the world. He sheds that light. He has a purpose for shedding that light. Why? That a man may adjust despair? No. In himself, yes. Why? Because he desires to glorify himself. He sheds that light. It is light upon what? It is light upon Christ. Do they know him? No. It is light upon what? That is on their need for him. And so the Lord, he is cutting a man off. He is stripping him. He is taking away his wisdom. He is removing from him his strength. He is removing from him his righteousness. He is taking away all of his own light. How does a man feel then? That's a great paradox. You say that is an enlightened man. That is true. He is enlightened by whom? He is enlightened by the Spirit of the Lord. He is lightened by him who says, I am the light of the world. But what does he feel in himself? Darkness. Darkness. What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He says, whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas says to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? The Lord Jesus says, ye know. You have knowledge. I have given that knowledge to you. Thomas says, Lord, we feel so ignorant. We do not know the way. Then they desire that light. Do you desire also that light in your perceived darkness? What do you think? Will the Lord then withhold that light from the people? It cannot be. Read that in our text. Because the Lord Jesus, he speaks about that here. He says, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Let us sing 417, 1 and 3. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me, unto thy habitation, wherein thy wing I'll be supplied with grace. Thou wilt provide. 1 and 3 of Psalter 417. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Our second thought, that is the shining of this light. When Saul with his men entered into the cave where David was, they could not see him. Why could they not see him? Was the light not shining? Was the sun not shining? say that sun that was shining, but it was on the outside of the cave. And that light did not enter into that cave. Christ says, I am the light of the world. And that light that is shining over all the nations of this world, more and more, unto the end of time. But Christ, he says more, he says, whosoever followeth me, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Thus he speaks also about those who walk in darkness, even though that light is shining, even though he has come into this world, even though that light goes out to all the nations, yet he says there are those who walk in darkness. Thus that light that is not entering into the heart of every man. But though it may be light objectively, in a subjective way, it can be very dark. Is that also in your heart? But now the Lord Jesus, he says that there are those to whom he promises that they shall not walk in darkness, but they shall have the light of life. What happens in your heart when you hear those words of the Lord Jesus? Is there then any outgoing of your heart? Do you say in your heart, those are precious words? Does your heart lift up itself to the Lord? Is there a cry in the bottom of your heart that says, oh Lord, could I also have that light? David, he says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Why? Because it was so dark in his own heart. Thus there is a people whose hearts, they are going out after the Lord, that the Lord, he may shed abroad that blessed light in their own heart, in a personal way. This people, they are described here by the Lord Jesus. He says, they are those that follow me. He that followeth me. What does that mean? To follow him? That means to go after him. That means to desire him. That means to seek him. That means to become, as it were, his disciple. It is possible that they have still so little knowledge of who he is, that he was never revealed, they say, to my own soul. And yet, they follow him. Is it possible? Yes. Bunyan tried to show that. When do that people begin to follow? They begin to follow him already in regeneration. Not that they know the second person, but it is the love of God. There was a difference between Christian and pliable, Bunyan says. Remember pliable last time, children? Where did he get out? He got out on that side of that slough of despond that was closest to his own house. Remember? He went back. And Christian, he was also despondent. He was also in despair. He also didn't know the way. But the work of the Lord that had been begun already in the heart of that man. And he struggles not toward his own house anymore, but he seeks to come out on the other side. And there evangelist met him, and he said to him, "Do you see yonder wicked gate?" No. Did not know who Christ was. He said, "Do you see yonder shining light?" What did he say? Yes. No. He said, "I think I do." Do you think you do too? Do you ever read in the Word of God and see something in there that is so glorious, that is so beautiful, that draws your heart, that draws you to follow and to continue, even though it is so dark? The world, they say, how can you go in such a way? So despondent, so dark, isn't it obvious to you that you go the wrong way? But there is no other way. I think I do. And so he goes. Keep your eye on that light. Continue in that word. And so thou shalt see. Where does Bunyan get that from? Is that just in his own mind? Did he make that up? That was a man that was led by the Spirit of the Lord. It is the promise of Christ himself. What does Christ say? He says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." And therefore, that minister could say to him, "Keep your eye on that light. And so shalt thou see the gate." It cannot be otherwise. Why? Because the Lord himself has said it. This people, they have the promise of the Lord. It is the promise of Christ himself as the light of the world, that you shall not walk in darkness, but that you shall have that light of life. That is for them a help upon the way, that the Lord, he says to them, keep coming. Keep on. Go on. That was already Hosea. Then he says, shall we know if we follow on, he says, to know the Lord. And so Christ confirms it, even with his own words. Paul, he has said to the Corinthians, for God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, he says, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That is from the light of the world. Has shined, Paul says, in our hearts, in our dark hearts, with a darkened understanding, not knowing how I can be reconciled unto God, has shined in our hearts. Isaiah, he says, the people that walked in darkness, they have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them, he says, hath the light shined. If the Lord indeed sheds a little light upon our sin, and not only upon our sin, but upon our sinful existence, then it becomes very dark indeed. Very dark. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? When such a man may hear in the house of the Lord, when one in such a condition may read that holy word of the Lord in his own secret place, where the Lord, he declares, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, then the people, they receive a great light. I ask you, do you know what it is? To receive such a great light. If the Lord sheds light upon our guilt, think of David. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Think that man had despaired. Are there those people here too? Do you know what we read in the word of the Lord? We read that there was a paralytic. He was brought to Christ. And Christ, he said to him, Son, he said, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. There is for such a people a light that they have never seen under the sun in this world. Even just to know that the Son of Man, that he has power on earth to forgive sins. I am the light of the world. There is so much light that is to be received from this light of the world. Can there be any darkness in him? Is there any limit to the light of the sun? Is there any limit to the light that can be received from the light of the world? Ask God's people. When it is dark, it is dark. But when it is light, then it is light. He that followeth me, he shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. That is light that gives life. Light that gives life unto the soul of man. David says, with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Did you ever see that light? Where does the light shine? The light shines in the darkness. Did the Lord ever give that light to shine in your darkness? In the darkness of your soul? Was there ever light that did shine upon that blessed Jesus who came to save his people from their sins? Was there ever light that did shine in his anointing that the Father himself had found a way? Was there ever light that did shine in the good pleasure of the Father? Light that did shine in the natures of the Son, in his blessed human nature, in the state of his humiliation, light that did shine into his sacrifice, light that did shine upon that tree? Was there ever light that did shine in all your darkness, in his payment, in his resurrection, in the satisfaction of the Father? Ever light that did shine into his wisdom, into his kingly office, into his victory over the devil, against whom you cannot fight, and against whom that you have no power to deliver yourself? Did you ever see light upon his victory over sin, over death, that it was able also to deliver you? We read in God's word, a leper, he came to the Lord Jesus. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He had light, didn't he? He had light into what? Oh, he had light into the power of Christ. He had light into his divinity. Thou can do it. Leper, incurable. No man can help. From my own side, filth. From the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. Wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. Lord, thou canst. But you know what he had no light in? He had no light into his willingness. He didn't know if the Lord would do it. Lord, if thou wilt. And then the Lord Jesus, what did he say? He said, I will. He said, I will. Be thou clean. Did that man then walk in darkness? Then that man, he may walk in the light. I am the light of the world. Congregation, what do you prefer? The light or the darkness? Do you walk in darkness? Do you walk in the darkness, stumbling even unto death, because you say, I do not know
the way of life. The Lord, he says, I will lead the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. And I will make the crooked paths straight. Does your heart rejoice at that prospect that you say, oh Lord, open my eyes that I may see? Does not matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile. Does not matter if you are rich or poor. Does not matter if you are bond or free. Does not matter if you are an adult or if you are just a little child. What does he say? He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. The light of life. Oh, how bright is that light of life. How bright is that? See, I don't know, I've never seen it. Oh, ask someone. Ask someone who has seen just a little ray of that light. Ask them to tell you how bright that light was in their darkness. That is the light of life. It is the light of life, spiritual. And if that now is bright, what will now be that light of life eternal? Where they shall see him. Where they shall see him as he is. And we read there is no night there. They will not need a candle. They will not need the light of the sun. No, we read, the Lord God, he giveth them light. Oh, what do you prefer? The light or the darkness? Do you love darkness rather than light? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot speak of that light. It needs to be seen. It needs to be received. Oh, that thou would show it to each and every one of us. When we are in the darkness wherein we have been born, show us the need of it. And wilt thou shine with that light for the first time, but also by renewal, that we may see, Lord, that we may see thee, that we may love thee, that we may glorify thee, that we may magnify thee. It all begins here below, in all its shortcomings. But thou wilt perfect it. Bring us safely home. Give us thoughts and meditations of thee, desires in our soul, life within. Spare in the week to come. Help each one with the labors of our hands. Remember us as a consistory when we hope to meet. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422, the fifth stanza. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound. That when they hear thy voice in happiness abound. And what follows in the fifth stanza of Psalter 422. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.